I am reading from the Early Class Sessions, Book 1, September 12th, 1967 through 1969, November 25. I'm beginning on page 20 with ESP Class Session, February 8, 1968, mid-session with a question asked by Rob. Continuing on, I have the ESP Class Session, February 20, 1968, February 29, 1968, and March 12, 1968. Four sessions on this recording. ESP Class Session, February 8, 1968, beginning page 26, mid-session. Question, Rob. How is it possible for you to know this information? Seth, we have had our sessions for how long now? And you asked me this? Rob, I just wanted you to explain it to the people present. Seth, very well. Your idea of time is false. Time as you experience it is an illusion caused by your own physical senses. Your physical senses force you to perceive action in certain terms, but this is not the nature of action. You must perceive what you do of reality through your physical senses, but your physical senses distort reality. They present reality to you in their own way. The physical senses can only perceive reality a little bit at a time, and so it seems to you that one moment exists and is gone forever, and the next moment comes, and like the one before, it disappears. But everything in the universe exists at one time, simultaneously. And the first words ever spoken still ring throughout the universe, and in your terms. The last words ever spoken have been said time and time again, for there is no ending and no beginning. It is only your perception that is limited. Reality is not limited. These only appear to those who exist within three-dimensional reality. Since I am no longer within it, I can perceive what you do not see. But there is a part of you that is not imprisoned within three-dimensional reality, and that part of you knows that there is no time, that there is only an eternal now. And that part of you that knows is the whole self, the inner personality that knows all of your lives. When I tell you that you have lived, for example, in 1936, I say this because it makes sense to you now, but you live all of your reincarnations at once. Only you are not aware, and you cannot understand within the framework of three-dimensional reality. Pretend that you have seven dreams at once, and you, the dreamer, know that you are dreaming. Within each dream, 100 years, earth years, pass by. But to you, the dreamer, no time has passed, and there is no time to pass. For you are free of the dimension in which time exists. The time you seem to spend within the dream, within each life, is only an illusion. And to the inner self, no moment has passed. And to the inner self, there is no time. Rob, thanks, Seth. ESP Class Session, February 20, 1968, Tuesday. Seth, now I have been here listening. We are having some difficulties with our friend's voice, and as you see, he has worn a skirt rather than slacks, which somehow hamper activities. Now we are beginning to study my material. Now I shall be close by, for the material is the best that I can give you. There are hints there of basic truths. Any speech within your system and expression must be tinged and must be somewhat distorted in order to make sense to you. Basic reality has no need for words. Words are but symbols. But without symbols, you cannot intellectually understand what I have to say to you, and so I must use them. There are questions that you would ask me, and I shall answer them in time and as the opportunity presents itself. Your idea of reality will indeed begin to change, and you must learn to manipulate within the new system, as you learn of it, for the old rules will no longer apply. You will not be able to get along in the old way, for learning entails new responsibilities, and so you must stretch and grow. My material in many ways will not make things easier for you. You will demand more of yourselves. You will give more. You will insist that you learn to use your own abilities. I will not give you answers. I will show you the questions, and I will attempt to lead you to answers. Your own intuitions will guide you, and they shall awaken as you study. I shall be watching your progress. Though I have no gold stars to give you, you may leave Rupert an apple. I anticipate a most enjoyable time, and indeed, if you have questions, then you can receive the answers from the horse's mouth. Now, your toy does not do you justice, but we shall put up with it. You are in your apprenticeship period, and soon we shall see how you can develop and what you can produce. There are joys and advantages that will come as a result of your studies. They will come if you allow yourselves to open up your inner selves. They will come as you learn to use your own inner senses, and the material will explain what these inner senses are and how you can use them. We are now embarking upon a new point in your classes, and if my friend Rupert will allow me, you shall have at times another teacher, for I shall step in now and then to provide my own demonstrations. It goes without saying that certain conditions must be indeed be met. Circumstances must be beneficial. Any words of mine will always be spoken to quicken your own education, for as I have said often, I am an educator, and that is my main purpose and my purpose in this class. If any demonstrations occur, they will occur only when the moment is right, and they will happen as a side issue to demonstrate certain points which should be made. I will try to give you information that I know you want to have, but at times I will also give you information that you may not wish to have. You and you alone are responsible for your own development. No one can develop your own abilities but you. I am here, and I have been here often in your classes. It is because you have yourselves reached a certain point in your own development that I speak to you tonight. And when I do so, I am between systems. I am neither here nor there, you see. I am using Rupert's nervous system, for example, but I am not Rupert. I come to you from a long way, and yet the distance is not in terms of space. I am separated from you in a way that has nothing to do with space. May I say that I do indeed, now being indeed the only gentleman present. I am endeavoring, you see, to let more of my personality show itself this evening, so that you can know me by my characteristics as well as my words. If you do not like the one, you may prefer the other. But when I speak to you of death, know that I myself had died and been reborn many times before. Yet I speak to you, and I speak in a lively manner, for one dead. Therefore, when you are tempted to think of it as an end of all, then remember that you know a rather lively spirit. And when you hear my voice speaking through Rupert this evening, then remember how hoarse it was before I began to speak. And know indeed that were I not such a gentleman, I could add considerably to its volume. The hour is late, however, and Rupert would not thank me for my troubles. He would worry about the neighbors. Now, when circumstances are good, we had better take advantage of them. I shall not keep you long. I could indeed go on, myself, like this for hours, but I shall take into consideration your human failings, and I know you need such things as sleep. I am indeed coming through very well this evening, very well, however, and if I may say so, I am in somewhat of a frisky mood. However, and this is to show you that your so-called spirits are not always long-faced and somber, I am at times, I admit, mischievous. You must realize that basic reality is joyful, and that the way of life upon which I hope you shall embark is joyful. And if my actions and communications can show you this, then I have done well indeed. Now, it will not particularly serve any great or awesome purpose for me to thus appear in this guise, nor to raise my voice in any way quite impossible for this rather puny young woman. And yet, because the circumstances are so auspicious, I am so tempted. This does not mean that the demonstration serves no purpose, for all of my demonstrations serve a purpose, and this one is to show that there is indeed a vitality that lives beyond the grave, and that there is joy. And the personality continues to exist, for this most willing and friendly associative man can permit me to speak in the most fearless and careful tones. For this is hardly the end, and I am here to tell you it is quite possible for me to continue on such a demonstration until your very eardrums will plead to me for mercy. However, I shall not do so. This scribbling goes slowly. Now, I am aware that I shall have some small difficulties with my friend, but he, Rupert, understands. When circumstances are at their best, then he allows me to come through clearly. But he is concerned over issues that are only of surface importance, as far as the volume of the voice is concerned, and he is only now learning control. I will end our session again because I understand that your hour is late. Your hour has little to do with me, however, and I merely defer to your wishes. I offer my heartiest regard, and I do indeed offer those blessings which are mine to give. On some occasions, I may come through with greater or lesser effectiveness. Now I am here in a fairly undistorted form, and you will recognize me and remember me when I come here again, and I will know you. I will not forget you, for now I feel I know you all very well indeed. In a whisper. Now, we shall annoy no one. Shall I simply sit here and radiate, or shall I speak? I do not like to offend Rupert, and such indeed is not my intention. I am here this evening to show you that death does not automatically change you into a somber, long-faced ghost. I am here to show you that I am myself, and you shall be yourselves. One small note here to Rachel. You have nothing to worry about along the terms of which you spoke earlier this evening. It was your inner fear that caused the dream. You were, however, in contact with your grandmother. I wanted to speak to you in less remote terms than usual. I wanted to convey to you the fact that the personality is composed of indestructible elements, and that these elements are never destroyed. I wanted you to feel the impact of my personality as you would feel the impact of any living personality. I wanted, in other words, to speak to you as a person. I am going to leave you now. ESP class session, February 29, 1968. Again, reading the early class sessions, book 1, at page 33. I will come through in this class when circumstances permit. Some of you objected when I said, in the only other session held for this class, that you were meant to come here. You felt perhaps pushed. The fact is that you were at the point where you were seeking answers to questions, and you were seeking new questions. You were led by your inner selves to any place where these questions might be answered. My material will indeed change your lives. You hope, you dream, that your lives will be creative. And that is why you are here. Others are not here. You are here because you want to learn and understand the various dimensions of your own reality. You sense something of which you have not been told. I will be here again whether or not I speak to you. I am here this evening to tell you that when conditions are to our satisfaction, I will speak to you and answer your questions. There are realities and dimensions which you sense, and you are correct. They are outside the recognized system of knowledge. The questions you ask are not considered legitimate within the recognized schools of knowledge. My very presence must make you think. Within the materials you will find a framework, and this framework will allow you to understand what reality is. It will allow you to wake up and see the camouflage that you call physical reality. I should not be here, according to what you have been taught. According to what you have been taught, I do not exist, and yet I can assure you that I do exist. What happens in this room should not happen, according to what you have been taught, and yet it happens. It is enough to open up your own inner senses to show you that more exists than what you have been told. Do you think that when you grow old, you will become shriveled and come to nothing. Such is far from the case, indeed. Then, as a nothing, I speak very loudly. When circumstances permit, I shall make myself rather better known in this room. There are certain rules that my friend Rupert places upon me, one that I hold my voice under control, and so I do not endeavor to do so. I have said that vitality in the personality is vitality in the personality. Because I have left your planet doesn't mean that I must be somber and speak in somber tones. Existence does not presuppose sobriety. Existence is joyful, and vitality rings throughout the universe and speaks out indeed with such a voice as mine. To be blessed is not to go about with a long face. You can use your intellect and your emotions. One need not block out the others. The ideas in my material will open up your eyes, your inner eyes. You will begin to look at your universe as you have never looked at it before. The camouflage world is beautiful, but more exists that you do not see. Look where you see nothing with your physical eyes, and you shall find much that will amaze you. Listen where you hear nothing, and you will hear much that will amaze you. Now my friend Rupert may take a break or end the session as he prefers. I myself am delighted to speak to you. I have been here since you entered the room, and I shall be here until you leave it. You know more than you realize, and your own inner knowledge will always propel you to find the answers that you seek. On some occasions, I will speak in a less weighty manner. I am restrained by the vehicle through which I speak. I do indeed give you the blessings that are mine to give. Resumed 1027, Seth. Now, according to what you have been taught, my friend Rupert should be mad, crazy, but he is not. According to what you have been told, you are created of physical matter, and you cannot escape it. And this is not so. According to what you have been taught, you must disintegrate as you grow old, and this is not so. The physical matter of which you are seemingly composed will disintegrate in physical death, but you will not disintegrate. Though you cannot find me, you know that I am here. Though your own parents seem to disappear before your eyes and vanish into eternity forever, so it seems that all of you are, will also disappear. I can assure you that your parents will live. I can assure you that death is another beginning, that when you are dead, you are not silenced. For is this silence? Is this presence that you sense here now within the room death? I am more alive than many who walk the face of your planet now, more alive than some of your professors and friends, for aliveness is dependent upon the state of your consciousness, dependent upon your awareness, your ability to perceive and to feel. I am here to tell you that your joy is not dependent upon your youth, for I am hardly young. I am here to tell you that your joy is not dependent upon your physical body, for I have none. I am here to tell you that your joy is not dependent upon your nervous system for physical form, since I have none. I have what I have always had, the identity that is mine. It is never diminished. It grows and develops. You are what you are, and you shall be more. Don't be afraid of change, for you are change, and you change as you sit before me. All action consists of change, for otherwise there would be a static universe, and indeed death would be the end. As Seth, you know me as an old man, but I have been a young woman. Change joyfully. Rob notes, this is difficult to explain. Here we took a break. Lillian began to read the notes she had taken, and Seth corrected them as she read, so that there was a constant give and take going on. Seth, I am here to tell you that what you are is not even dependent upon what you feel or touch. You cannot touch me, and yet you know I am here in the room. What I am is also what you are. I am individualized consciousness, and so are you. Do not be afraid, but change with the seasons, for you are more than the seasons, and you form the seasons, as they are the reflections of your psychic climate. Rob notes, this was a phrase left out earlier. Seth spoke so quickly, it was difficult to take notes. Seth, I had better leave you, for you are indeed mad scribblers. We need a recorder, for if I speak naturally, you cannot take it down. I have come for one purpose, so that you could sense my vitality, and sensing this, know that I speak to you from dimensions beyond those with which you are acquainted. The grave is not the end, for so noisy a one never spoke with the lips of death. I am joyful, though there is no physical heart that I have claimed to. I am in this room, though there is no object within which you can place me. And you are not within any object. You are disembodied as I. You have a vehicle to use, a body that you can call your own, and this is all. I borrow Rupert's with his consent, but what I am is not dependent upon atoms or molecules, and what you are is not dependent upon physical matter. Your own consciousness is part of each season. You are not limited by the bones of your skull. You have lived before, and you are living now, and you will live again. And when you are done with physical existence, you shall still live. I can enjoy your earthly days when I so choose, and stroll disembodied down your spring streets, and look through Rupert's eyes at the wintry nights. And when you learn what you must learn, you will be able to look back to the past that you have known, and ahead to the days that you will know. For there is no end, because there was no beginning. You always have been, and you always will be. This is the meaning of existence and joy. The God that is within you, for you are a part of all that is. And through my voice, you hear a very small echo of all that is. Rob notes, voice very loud and powerful. Janet said, though she knew it was coming from me, Jane, still, it seemed to come from all around the room. Seth, there are realities and systems within this room that you do not consciously perceive, but your inner senses perceive them. I come to you as though I appeared through a hole in space and time. There are walks, warps, in space and time through which you can travel. And in dreams you have been where I am. You are dreaming. You have yet to awaken. The inner senses will allow you to awaken and to see the awakening reality behind your dream. My friend Rupert may take a break or end the session as he prefers. You may think of me as an old man, and yet my joy circles this room, as a bluebird might fly from corner to corner, as my essence, like air, fills the room, as your essence, like air, fills the room. You have done very well, and I commend you to Lillian. I have been cautioned by my friend, and so I shall not keep you longer. I have tried to tell you this evening of realities with which you are deeply involved, whether or not you realize it. I want you to feel your own vitality. Sit quietly for a few moments in a room alone and feel your own identity grow and reach out. Feel it travel through the universe and know that it is not dependent upon your physical image. For you form your own physical universe. It does not form you. You are in a dream. The dreamer says that physical reality forms you. In reality, you project your psychic energy outward unto the physical universe. Therefore, to change your world, you change that which you project. ESP class session, March 12, 1968. Reading from Volume 1, The Early Class Sessions, a Seth book. Now I'm coming to you briefly for a very simple reason. to let you know that you are indeed welcome here, and that you do not bother our friend Rupert. He is less easily bothered of late in any case. We have not had a session while you have been here, and I did not want you to think that I had anything against you, you know. I will not interfere, for I know you have some business with your table to attend to. I simply wanted you to know that I was here, as I said I would be. Give me a moment, please. Now, I will consider the situation in which you are involved, pointing to Florence, and we shall discuss it at a session as soon as possible. There is indeed a complication arising in part from past life connections, but also in the early background of the woman involved. The problem must be worked out by her, and she must find the support within herself, you see. She is not considering others, but only herself. But from the torment within herself, she is projecting the situation. There is advice that will help her, and I will go into the situation more thoroughly in a regular session. I will also go into another matter of which you have spoken, and it was indeed I who gave Rupert the insight today within a certain aspect of that problem. Now I will let you get on with your class, and if I do not come through like the voice of spring, you must forgive me. I enjoy being here. I quite intend to attend your classes. I shall see what a good teacher your Rupert is, and I shall correct him if he makes errors. I am in the position of teaching Rupert and Joseph, and their responsibility is to teach others. They could accept this situation or not. The choice was up to them. Their own development, however, would not be as complete had they chosen to ignore the responsibility. They know me, and they have known me well in past lives, you see. So I was not a stranger to them that they thought I was. This is their last reincarnation, and I tell you it is much easier to solve your problems now than to solve them later. And they are solving theirs now, and in solving theirs, they are helping others also. Rupert has always had a difficulty, if he will forgive me, in integrating the various abilities that are his. He was either so intellectual that you could not understand him when he spoke, or so intuitive that you could not understand him when he spoke. The duty he imposed upon himself this time was to integrate those two strong aspects of himself, and he has had his difficulties in doing so. We have known each other many times, Rupert and Joseph and I. Now, though I joke with you because I must speak now through a woman, as I have told you, I have been a woman, and so the strangeness is not as strong as I sometimes pretend. Your own entity knows your strong points and your weak points, and it gives you life situations, and it hopes that you will solve these problems. No one makes you solve these problems. You can accept them or run away from them. No one tells you that you must develop. Nevertheless, the desire to develop is within you. You will find your own way. I have been where you are. I am now within the space that you inhabit in this room. You will one day be where I am, and you will have learned many things. I can point the way to you, but you must follow that way on your own. Now, whenever you are truly joyful, you are on the right track. No God ever meant or intended that you suffer. God is a joyful being. To the extent that you do not realize that you exist in Him, you are sorrowful. To the extent that you do not develop your abilities and project them into physical realities, are you sorrowful. To the extent that you do not live up to your potential, are you sorrowful. It is indeed true that you find yourselves by losing yourself. You are indeed a part of all that is. When you attempt to concentrate on the tiny I that you imagine yourself, then indeed you do not know where you are and you cannot find yourself. Now, you see what you have done to my intentions. I came here merely to give greetings to our new friend here, and I find myself immediately involved in philosophical discussion. But while I find it fun to speak to you because I am a teacher, you see. I cannot leave it at that. I must always make a point, and each time I come here, though my words are meaningless, do I make a point. My very presence in this room makes a point, though my words were gibberish, and I can assure you that, whatever else they may be, my words will not be gibberish. Out of the goodness of my invisible heart, I will let our friend Rupert rest. But be assured that I am not some general mass of invisible protoplasm, you see. I am myself, and I shall always be myself, and I am aware of you as you are. And there can indeed be a give and take between us. For again, I have been where you are, and where I am, dear friends, so shall you one day be. Rob notes, Seth withdrew, and there was a class break. Seth, now there is no place in those terms. In the first place, there is no such thing as a place. No heaven in terms of a location. You form your ideas of space. Existence forms its own reality. Your physical senses form your idea of space. This same so-called space within this room also contains me and others like me. Space is your illusion. With your physical senses, you only recognize a small portion of reality. That which you recognize, you call physical. But more exists within what you call the space of this room, and you do not perceive it. Consciousness takes up no space in your terms. It forms what space is. When consciousness needs space in which to operate, it creates space. When it is resting, it does not need space, and it does not create it in these terms. It becomes concentrated energy falling back in upon itself in sleep and rest. Knowledge within your brain does not take up physical space within your brain. Dreams help form your personality, but they do not take up physical space. Your personality does not take up physical space. What you are exists independently of both space and time. When you are resting between reincarnations, you rest in a dimension in terms of space and time. You come back into space and time if you desire to reincarnate. Where I am, space and time as you define it, do not exist. I can take advantage of them to some degree to speak to you, but to me they are transparent, and they do not basically exist. Now, Rupert's eyes work much better when I am in control of them. I see each of you now with Rupert's eyes closed, as you have been in past reincarnations, and as you will be. And with Rupert's eyes closed, there is some difficulty, for I must focus psychically in order to find you as you think you are now. For I see all of you. I see all of what you are. But it is difficult for me, with Rupert's eyes closed, for me to see you as you imagine yourselves to be at this particular point in space and time. With Rupert's eyes open, I can see you, as he sees you, as a particular personality in this particular space and time, and then, you see, I can place you within your own development. Now, briefly, we will continue while Rupert learns how to manipulate his controls. In dreams, you communicate with your own past lives. In dreams, you often know who you have been. In dreams, you often realize what you have learned. In dreams, you restate your challenges and problems. In waking reality, subconsciously, you manipulate atoms and molecules so that they result in physical images that appear to you as permanent. They are not permanent. The atoms and molecules, as you know, constantly change, but they retain enough semblance of permanency so that you can rely upon their position in space, their size and weight, and their depth and their physical dimension. You can agree as to their placement in space. Now, in dreams, you also form your environment. The dream locations that you visit, you form in precisely the same manner as atoms and molecules, but they are of briefer duration, for you do not focus your energy upon them for the same amount of physical time. These locations and these dreams appear private to you. you feel that you do not share them with any other. The fact is that you do, to a certain extent, share them, and telepathically, dreams can be dreamed by more than one person. You form whatever reality that you know. You have always done this. The heaven and hell that you think of, this is your own experience, the consequences of your actions. There is, in some distant, ultimate time, a returning to that form which you have come. But when you return to that form which you have come, when you return to what you think of as God, by then new creativity will have already begun. Consciousness will evolve in new ways, and there will be new challenges. There is no end, but this does not mean that there is no peace, for peace is within you now. If you would but realize it, it is within you. It is closer to you than breath. It is closer to you than your own pulse. It is as close to you as air. You are co-creators. What you call God is the sum of all consciousness, and yet the whole is more than the sum of its parts. God is more than the sum of all personalities, and yet all personalities is what he is. There is constant creation, but peace is to be found in creation. There is a force within you that knew how to grow you from a fetus to a grown adult. This force is part of the innate knowledge within all consciousness, and it is a part of the God within you. The responsibility for your life and your world is indeed yours. It has not been forced upon you by some outside agency. You form your own dreams, and you form your own physical reality. I told Rupert today that God has given you the greatest of all gifts and the most awesome. He has given you what you want. The world is what you want as individuals and as races. The world is what you are. You look at the state of the world, and you find the physical materialization of the inner selves which have formed it. You look at nature, and you find the joy that is within you, that you have also formed outward. You look at the good, and it is a reflection of the good that is within you. Within each individual person, multiplied outward millions of times for each individual within the planet. And there is no man that hates, but that hatred is reflected outward and made physical. And there is no man that loves, but that love is not reflected outward and made physical. We were indeed, our slight friend Rupert here, was indeed upon occasion a rather lecherous old fellow, and I was a saintly type. I was, forgive me, his mother. Now I am attempting to set up here with you a personal contact, not for myself, but for you. I want you to realize that you, as you understand yourselves to be, your individuality, is not changed by this. I have had this same personality with some minor changes throughout the ages, and you are stuck with yours as I am stuck with mine. All the abilities that I have now, I have always had, and you have abilities that you are not using, you see, and the sooner you learn to use them, the better it will be for you. I want you to realize that while I no longer inhabit your physical system, the human personality that is mine and thus has filled many physical forms still exists. I am still learning. I still have work to do, and you will still have work to do. You will set challenges for yourselves. There is a short time between lives when you rest and when you take stock of what you have learned and where you are. But true peace is within you now. And if you do not realize it, it is not because peace does not exist. It is because you have closed yourself off from peace. And joy springs out of peace. Joy cannot come from unease and dissatisfaction. You will not find peace after this unless you know peace within yourselves now. The kingdom of peace is not on some planet, not 4 blocks down and 3 blocks across, not a million light years away. And miraculously will you find it. The kingdom of peace is within each of you now, and if you realize this, then indeed you dwell in peace, and from peace comes your security and confidence and joy. Now, Rupert and I banter. We banter back and forth. And I am a rare one, and he is a rare one, but all of this is based on spiritual understanding and on peace. And joy do you have? You may cough. Have a good one. Do you have any idea of the energy it takes for me to speak to you in terms like this, or the degree of manipulation which Rupert needs and I need? For indeed I have no wish to burst his lungs apart. Yet I tell you that this bit of energy is minute, and nothing in comparison to the energy that is within each of you now, and that you are not using. The energy that you are not using, and the abilities that are yours. Now my friend Rupert has sent me certain signals. They say the voice is too loud, the neighbors will complain. He is most possibly correct. I will therefore leave you, but I remember you, and you shall remember my words. I have, after all, not come here for nothing.